Rob, welcome to Mining Now. It's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, I was trying to remember what episode it was asked, because they had this amazing technology. It was quite a few episodes ago, so I can get away with saying it now. And I asked a question about putting it all these sensors and monitoring technology all together. And there wasn't a great answer. It was like, well, we hope so one day. But I'd say Hexagon is kind of going that route if they haven't already done it.
Yeah, that's it. We definitely having a good go at it. And it's been some pretty exciting announcements coming out over the last 6 months or so. And it's something that we are definitely continuing to push the boundaries on, and you know, really bringing all that tech stack together to really benefit the mining industry.
Yeah, I've got a crazy amount of stuff I want to ask you about, projects, product lines, putting it all together. It's a lot to cover today. So before I do that, Rob, I got to step away and then give a shout out to our sponsors, and then we'll get into it.
Perfect.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Out to our sponsors for Mining Now. And we've got some great sponsors today. Petro-Canada Lubricants, products and services. That's a Holly Frontier company. Are proven to maximize equipment performance, productivity, and overall savings. From heavy-duty engine oils to hydraulic fluids, automatic transmission fluids, and gear oils and greases, Petro-Canada Lubricants is committed to delivering innovative solutions that deliver value and keep business moving. They have dedicated technical expertise, knowledge, and know-how to help customers in the mining industry operate smoothly with improved equipment, reliability, and performance. Learn more at lubricants.petro-canada.com or contact them at 1-866-335-3369 to arrange a call with one of their technical experts. EPCM, established in 1980, EPCM is a global engineering, procurement, and construction management firm. They deliver comprehensive solutions through EPCM engineering, EPCM automation, EPCM services, and supply and technologists, Cobra. Contact them to help you accomplish your goal. Please email info@epcm.com. Zero Knox is the global leader in electric powertrain solutions, microgrids, and clean technology. They provide a platform for clean energy technology to come to market through powertrain solutions, development partnerships, and electrification kit solutions for conversions, all powered by Zero Knox. Their mission is to empower communities through sustainable innovation as they partner with some of the world's leading OEMs to solve challenges across multiple continents with cleaner and higher performing technology, empowering a clean, innovative, and higher performing future without compromise. Learn more at ZeroKnox.com. They did a great episode. Check that one out. And Savinaw Equipment supplies new and used mine equipment around the world, from plaster to underground to ore processing plants. They have gold concentrating tables, trommels, and mineral jigs in stock to now take advantage of the high gold prices. Go to savinawequipment.com to view all their inventory. And remember, they list more equipment every day, savinawequipment.com. And PowerZone, when you need a specialized team of world-class engineers for your oil and gas pipeline dewatering or fuel handling needs, you want to visit PowerZone.com. In addition to their inventory of rebuilt pumps, motors, engines, they have an amazing team to design and engineer your systems to, no matter the challenge, no matter the location. Get in the zone with PowerZone, PowerZone.com. And last, but certainly not least, our partner, and with their upcoming events, May 1st to 4th, CIM 2022 Convention and Expo is coming to Vancouver. Show off your products and service in mining technology, digitalization equipment, consulting, and engineering. There is a whole lot of perks waiting for exhibitors at this expo, and it will sell out fast. If you're a researcher thinking about what mining will look like for future generations, this convention is the perfect place to present your technical papers or lead a short course. Visit CIM.org for all the details. Book your exhibitor space and submit your abstracts today. Thank you to all our sponsors. Rob, it's great to have you on the show. It's great to have Hexagon featured. It's this power of one conversation has been one that keeps emerging on our show. So it's glad to have a company that can represent what can be done. So welcome again to the show.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Let's kind of get into this this smart mind, which is covering so much ground and it's such a big topic. Can you just sort of lay it out for what it is from Hexagon's perspective and what you're sort of bringing to the table, that bird's eye view, if you will?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, right? Because I guess you look at what's the definition of a smart mind. And so many in the industry have different views, takes, ideas on that. I think what we're looking at is how do we transform the mind into a digital leader? You know, how do we take them from what they've done today, traditionally, where it's very manual process, trying to understand what's happening out in the field, take that and automate that process back into the office so that we can make smarter decisions, make those decisions faster, leverage that data and really put it to work, you know, to boost productivity, boost efficiency, boost quality and safety within the mining industry. And I think leveraging technology that we've developed and also, you know, brought into the Hexagon family is really enabling us to run faster in that area.
The process, it's here, and like so many, it's like when you see someone that's really successful, you go, oh, and then you read their book that takes, you know, if you're a reader like me, it maybe takes you a couple weeks to get through, and you think you've got the story of all these little details. How does it even begin to come together? I mean, just I've done shows on just one tiny little part of monitoring a mine.
Yeah.
And Hexagon is going, oh, we put it all together. Easy thing to say. How do you choose the technology? How do you filter it out? Choose what's right, how to connect it, communicate it. I mean, where did it even start to put it together?
Yeah, well, I think the easiest part there, it started in 2015 when our CEO of the Hexagon AB came in and identified an industry needs to be looked at holistically on how we can shape that industry and how we can really help improve the lives of the people there. And he was all about, you know, his message was, how do we connect the miners to the office, to the pit, to the boardroom, to make our lives easier? And it was a pretty easy and clear message as to this is what we need to do. Obviously, devil's in the detail. Once you do start to get underneath that and you start to look at the scope of and width and breadth of technologies or processes that we have within Hexagon, but even just in a mine site in general. And, you know, from mine planning or exploration into the tech services team, into the production area, you know, making sure we do that safely. You've got now a lot of stuff happening in around analytics to make better, you know, better decisions, autonomous technology stacks, and you know, all these sorts of areas. So I think what we started to do was really go out and work with our customers and identify what are their pains, what are the critical gaps that they have in the industry. We looked at what technologies we had, and how we could apply those technologies or not. And then we started to either develop into the gaps into there, or we looked outside and you know, brought some other companies into the family to help build this message and this brand of what we're trying to achieve, which is, you know, shaping or going into that full digital reality sensors software solutions. So it's been a journey. I think the other big aspect is then, you know, working with some of these base technologies, we've got to understand what some of the challenges are, and then bringing it forward into the 21st century, you know, leveraging some of the latest technologies that are available to us to really help on this journey as well.
So bringing in, like when you're bringing on like a new product, is it that you see gaps, especially from your position? You know, obviously it's a different company, you know, if you're doing an acquisition or taking on a new product or new partnership. But do you, as you're laying out sort of the life of mine, the whole operation of the mine, and then are you saying, oh, this is in our suite, these are where we have our gaps, and now you go out and try to fill it? Or do you have an internal team that tries to develop something, a mixture of both, just sort of that nuts and bolts part of filling those gaps?
It's a mixture of both. I think the way we took a step back a couple of years ago and really went, you know, here's the technologies that we can provide, but what are we doing for our clients? And you know, we started to identify the different personas that we had in the mining industry. And so rather than look at it as a, you know, here's just an FMS and here's just a planning tool, we started to say, you know, for the engineer on site, what does this mean? And how does this, you know, almost start to map out the full data flow for what that person needs from the day, the time they rock up to work to the time that they go home. And you start to identify how each piece of this technology really interacts with them and the value that they can start to ascertain from different solutions. That really gave us a quick way for us to identify what those opportunities were for us and then be more targeted at the way that we were developing the solutions for them. So that was probably the biggest way we went about it, yeah.
What I was hoping you could unpack a little bit, and I'm trying to sort of paint a picture for the audience of just the scale and when the value proposition, because I think there's a lot of assumptions when we're talking about integrating technology and monitoring systems. And could you sort of break down the value proposition, one that you're offering, but also that the customers are demanding as well?
Yeah. So I think the beauty of the power of one is, you know, we break it into the sort of three core areas that we focus on with the power of one. And that's about the devices on board and the ecosystem that we create. We look at the platform and the software that we use in the office. And then we have the cloud with analytics and what we're able to deliver from there from a value in terms of smarter decision making. So we break it. If you go into the sensors on board, I mean, we've all seen it in the industry. You get into an excavator or into a truck and there's 2 to 3 screens all throwing in alarms or information at people. And so it becomes a distraction and people are trying to do their jobs. We're all about how do we make their lives easier? And so by integrating 3 or 4 of these actual solutions on board, we're making their lives easier. We're giving them the right context at the right time so that they can make that decision faster and more predictably and repeatably, I guess, is also an option that we look at. And then that moves down into how do we service and support these, either the mine sites themselves or ours. You know, now you've got only one computing box on there and one screen that you have to manage and maintain, cables and everything else. And so the overhead of that comes down drastically. So across the board, there's kind of that win-win. And then obviously from in the office, we look at what we're doing there and we're really consolidating the workflows. And when we look at those workflows, you have the block model. Well, let's say you take a drill and blast as an example. To be able to streamline the data flows into the workflows from, you know, the geological model, understanding where your ore is, how does the drill design actually influence that ore body through to the movement of that ore body and reconciling that before it's even dug back to the original block model. These sorts of workflows don't really exist. And so we're giving people a way to actually look at their data and be able to design and, you know, really close the loop on some of these processes just by having a standard software suite that people can use.
Yeah.
It also creates consistency for our people as well. So less uptime for training, consistency in that usability, which, you know, I think mining has been and always probably will continue to be quite a transient workforce. If you can make the lives easier, the upskill time easier, that's a big bonus for the industry in general.
Well, I think you just sold half the industry when you said it went from 3 screens to 1. So I think that would we probably end the interview.
Mic drop. Yeah.
But that idea, this concept of a, because I was watching a video and it said many workflows, one answer. And I guess what came to my mind right away is that you've got, even on a management level, if you've got these different systems in place, it's not so different than if you've got an office with different different operating systems. You've got people that can, you know, a Mac or a PC, you know, that kind of thing. You've got people that communicate the same thing differently. That it must just be. It must be a huge breakthrough for you to sit down, especially with these major operators that have so many workflows, to say, no, we've actually narrowed this down. And in that stream, I wanted to clarify, when we're talking, are we talking about the drilling program, the haulage program, the crushing? How much are we talking about the entire flow?
That's the aim. So, I mean, at certain areas, we're going to be releasing things over duration, but the aim is for the life of your mine. So exploration workflows into geology, short-term, tactical scheduling into long-term, strategic, operation, material movement. So actually, and that's the one thing, like that breaks it down. We've always traditionally talked about it as a mine planning space and a fleet management space and a crushing space. We shouldn't, because if we want to do true optimization across that full value chain, we've got to think about that as material movement. It's just at a different life, a journey in its life, whether right. you're doing tactical planning or it's getting crushed. But once we look at it as material movement, now suddenly we see opportunities in that process.
What is the biggest challenge then when you're working with these major mine operators? Is there a very clear demand for it, or is there a fairly large educational aspect when you're going from three screens to one? You're streamlining it clearly, but you're also just eliminated 66% of a workflow. So what can that get to be a pretty intense ongoing discussion when you're trying to, although you're adding, but you're also in some ways eliminating processes?
No, because we're not eliminating the process. We're enhancing it. So, we look at, say, fleet management with reverse assist, which, enables the truck to spot under the excavator much easier. You could have two or three screens doing all of that, but now we've got the right context. So as the operator actually gets into position, the screens automatically switch smoothly with the same look and feel, the same messages back to them. And so it gives them better context as what's to do. So we're not actually eliminating that process at all. We're just really enhancing it, making it easier for the operator to consume that information on that front.
I wanted to talk a little bit too about this scale that you're going to work at. So when you're dealing with clients now, the power of one is obviously this full scale, this full suite. Now, is there still a lot of work being in that sort of that integration part, partial automation, partial sensoring? Like where does it sort of land? I wanted to switch over to something first. The legacy systems. People that have, there's an operator, they have a certain setup now. What happens there when you're coming into a fully operational mine? Are you integrating? Or are they replacing? Do they have to replace some equipment? What is sort of the system in those types of cases?
Yeah, again, every mine's unique, right? And every challenge is unique. Certainly, if they've got solutions, we want to look at creating that ecosystem and adding to that ecosystem if it makes sense. If we have the technology and the process and that is easier and the overall value prop is better, then, yeah, we can replace. And we're seeing that on a number of mines at the moment where the message of power of one, I guess we launched this at Mine Expo last year. It's resonated really, really well. We have some phone calls that coming through our door we never thought we'd have. So it's been unbelievably well received. And I think that's from top to bottom, from executive C-level all the way down to the truck drivers themselves. So.
Is there some sort of examples of just going back to that thing of sort of these replacing the legacy systems? Are there some examples that sort of stand out to you as where Hexagon has come in and is sort of integrated in and be able to replace some of these, essentially the legacy system they had in place?
Yeah, there's a few. We're doing a big push at the moment down in South America. I won't name names on here, but we are definitely coming in and looking to shake up the industry on what these technologies can do. So that comes with challenges. And I think the other piece of the power of one that is probably just as critical as the technology is the partnership piece that comes with this. And the only way that you can either introduce technology from the ground up as a greenfield, or go in and replace legacy products on board and integrate with things, is by truly understanding what the client's objectives are, what their pain points are, how we can help them do and make their lives better. And I think that's a strong area that we continue to grow in and work in, is, you know, how do we really partner up with the industry and you know, put our hands up when we do things wrong and be accountable to it, but at the same time sharing the success when we actually get it right.
How does that work when you've done, when you bring a technology in to an operating mine and now you're getting that feed, like would you, does it come in 90% ready? Is it 100% ready? What are your sort of your expectations of the integration? Are you're sort of anticipating and putting time there for new developments that are going to come based on the demands, or is that part of it?
When we go to a site, I mean, obviously we'll have, you know, different release stages. So we'll have beta sites and, you know, thank you to all the sites out there that enable us to do that. But because you can't truly test anything until you actually get it in, right, in the hands of people, operators, right? But I think we take product that's out that's ready. So, you know, there's certain structures and APIs and things like that, that for integration purposes that we can handle. And yes, we'll scope that out. We need to understand it clearly and articulate what we need to do, and, you know, work with the customer for them to understand that as well. And before we get on site, that's where I'd like to actually have all of that nutted out and worked out. But, you know, obviously sometimes as spanners get thrown in the works every now and then, and you've got to be agile and work with our clients and our customers on what they're needing. But I like to use the analogy that we are configuration over customization. And I think that's a scalable approach to being able to deliver solutions in the industry that, you know, can grow not just from today, but right into the future.
That's an interesting thing to say, because I think there's, well, we even found it on this show that when we first started, there was a lot of customization talk. And then we realized that's quite stressful for people. They're not coming. You're not coming on our show to tell us how to do it. You want us to provide an infrastructure so that you can deliver the information that you feel is important. Is it a little bit the same? Do you think there has been an error in some developers where they've tried to make it too customizable for the customer rather than saying, this is the value, these are the steps we can take, and here's the value add? And making it, it's almost, you can overcomplicate it by this customization sort of approach.
100%. I think there's not wrong to do it. It's just that, you know, right, sometimes you get pulled in certain directions, and we've all been there, and I'm sure we'll all go there again. Yeah. But, you know, when you're on site, you're under pressure, you want to, you know, please the client, you want to get things done. But sometimes that can drive a culture that's, you know, not sustainable, not scalable is the right word.
Not scalable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if you can't scale it, then ultimately that client's not going to get the benefits of it. All the other work you're going to do for all the other the customers around the world, right? Because they're stuck on this version of the product that's 3, 4, 5 years old or whatever, because the cost to upgrade is just way too high. And so we want to continue to work with our clients and give them the best technology that's available today and keep them going on that, because then they get the best value out of the solution that they've paid for.
Well, I guess there's also the temptation, I'm sure you've seen this, where you see one error or one thing that's a specific challenge that the client is having, and there's sort of this temptation to then start relooking at it across the board, and you can kind of end up on these sort of rabbit trails. And you sort of have to, I guess that's probably part of your role, is sort of staying in focus and not letting, sort of filtering out to say, okay, there's a consistent challenge here that now we need to address, rather than, oh, there's one challenge, okay, we need to change it across the board.
Yeah, look, I came from a startup, right? So I get it. Like, you chase, you know, revenue and go down different rabbit holes and, you know, just to keep the lights on sometimes. Yeah. But at a certain size, that, again, it all comes back to that scalability point.
Yeah.
You've got to really understand what your focus is, what you're trying to achieve for your business, for your client, and then see how you can take that out to the world at a global scale. If you can think about it from a global point of view down to the site that you're on, you're always going to ensure that you can, you know, have that scalable solution.
Okay, I wanted to touch on sort of that it from a greenfield perspective. This is far beyond my pay grade, and so I'm quite interested to sort of, and if we could get the audience to sort of take a look at what it, what does it take? You talk about the power of one from day one. It's a greenfield project. You're going to be from the ground up. Where does that, under the assumption you're already working with the client, just the design and bringing in the technology and which technology to integrate, and what, can you just talk us through that, that process?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess it all starts with a conversation with the client at the very beginning of the process to say, you know, what are your pain points? What are you wanting to achieve? And, you know, ultimately by when? Because you usually get some pretty fixed and hard dates from clients on when they're going to have startup and, you know, break ground and these sorts of things. And then it's all about how do we map that out from there? So, you know, the ideal is when you get your trucks or all your equipment, you don't want to have that parked up for long, right? So ability for us to be able to get in and install the one computer, the one screen, one antenna, you know, really sets the foundation for us then to go forward. And basically from that point, you know, let's say we roll out the FMS with that particular configuration or our operator alert solution from that particular hardware configuration, everything else we can start to turn on by software and really start to enable operations to sort of scale up and down what the technology actually is that they're using on site. And so, you know, that's, they're able to consume it on site at their pace and the change that they require. So that's, you know, I guess probably that's a little bit more on the incremental side of things, but, you know, for ability to come in and do the big bang as well and sort of say, well, here's how your material movement is going to work. And here's how drill and blast works from end to end, from the point where you take your geological model all the way through to the blasting aspect, and even, you know, further down the path with fragmentation, which, you know, feeds into the crusher, and the costs that come associated with that. I think it really enables us to look big picture with the client and find what their real pain points are.
What is your, I was curious about your role in this type of process. Like if it's a major mine and it's a at the greenfield stage, or even just a fully operated one of these large operators and you're integrating, are you directly there, or are you sort of the middle ground just in your own personal role, that middle ground between the technology that's developed and being and ready to go into the field and the customer that's taking on this? What's the role that you play in it?
Yeah. I love getting out in the mines and getting my boots dirty, right? So any chance I get out there. But no, we've got a fantastic team all around the world. So we really probably, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, made the decision to be local and really be close to our customers. And so we have, you know, services groups all around the world that go out, work with our clients on a daily basis. Some are actually embedded into their teams on a daily basis. And we work closely with them on, you know, again, pain points, solutions, you know, doing all that sort of discovery sessions with them. And then from there, we also have our product management group, which kind of, you know, works under me. They come in and they understand what those pains are and translate that into, you know, what solutions do we need to do? Do we need to improve a particular solution, or is it a whole new game changer that we need to think about? And then we kind of go from there, how we roll it out. But yeah, we've got our core tech stack that, you know, covers the majority of those sorts of operations.
What about and company scope? I mean, you're operating on a global scale. I know companies that you directly work with. Can you just sort of give us that scope of not only how far Hexagon reaches, but also how they reach on a global scale?
I think we're in about 2,000 mines around the world, from memory. So pretty much all the top mining companies around the world, we have one way, shape or form, they would have a part of Hexagon technology on there. So we have, you know, 40 offices around the world. We have a significant service support group around there. So I guess all the open pit, all underground focused as well, and dedicated to those sorts of areas within mining.
I just took note during the interview that you use the term partner when you're talking about customers that you're servicing. And I just thought I would talk, I was reading through your values actually before the show started. And by the way, whoever designed your values and mission is good on them. It's very clear. And one of my favorite ones, which I drives me nuts when companies don't have something like this, is profit driven.
That's it.
Yep. It's like, please be honest with me.
But a lot of people, it can put them off too, right? Because a lot of people yep. don't necessarily understand what we mean by that. And it's about us being here for the long run and being, right. You know, you want a partner. You want someone who's going to be there with you for the journey. You know, a lot of our mines are 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the operations. And so, you know, to partner up with us today means we're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah. And it gives that longevity also. What one thing that you know, you might lose a customer because that's in there. Okay, you lose one, but you'll gain 10 other ones. Because when you're thinking in, when a company knows you think in that longevity, they know that they'll get or more likely to get an honest answer. Because just as an example, we had a large client of ours, and I had to give them some bad data about the second episode they'd done. You don't want to, but I know if I don't, they're not going to improve and do it the right way the third or the fourth or the fifth time. And so do you find, and going back to those values, with it being so clear, and I'm going to put a link to that because I think people should go to see it, you know, profit-driven, engaged, professional, innovative, customer-focused. It's so crisp that I feel like when somebody... It certainly had an effect on me when I was working with you. There is just this clarity with Hexagon from what I see. And do you see that quickly transfers over to your customers and they sort of know what they're getting when you walk through the door?
Yeah, definitely. It's an evolution too, right? I think, you know, historically we can put our hands up and say, well, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And we can look back and say, have we always done the right thing? Maybe not. We strive to 100% always serve our customers in the best possible way. And those values really do help drive our culture and what we are all about. I think that comes down to then how do we work with our clients on a day-to-day basis? And, you know, you alluded to the fact that we use that word partner quite mm-hmm. a lot. And it is because, you know, we all in a project, in an operation, we're all there to do the right thing. And that is to make the mining industry better, you know, make money, get people home safely every night mm-hmm. and do it more efficiently, right? But we've got to learn and understand that, you know, we make those mistakes, the clients make mistakes, but how do we work together to make sure that we still succeed as a team and as a project? And that's, you know, for us, that's really working closely with our clients into that partnership mode. Understanding what their values are, understanding what their needs, wants, desires are, and then how do we help them? Another big thing is saying, no, we can't. Like if we can't help you in certain things, that's okay. We can either help facilitate or just no, we can't. And I think, you know, a lot of the times a lot of companies can get stuck up on that because they want to just do everything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes saying no is actually the healthiest thing.
Is that power of one though? It sounds like I'm doing a shameless plug, but it's a genuine question. That power of one though, is that eliminating some of that no, that those times to say no, because that work has been done since 2015 to have this multi-dimensional offering that you're not just stuck in sort of this little box within a certain system?
Definitely helping. But, you know, we are realists and we understand that we don't do everything. I hope one day we could say that we are, but I think, you know, technology evolves so fast that we were never just going to be able to do everything. So our ability to be able to create those partnerships with technology, other technology vendors or OEMs out there, to really be able to close those gaps is what helps drive us forward on that front. Or we look to develop that ourselves if we need to on there.
I'm not asking for a 2 or 10 year prediction or anything like that, but when you're looking at the industry, you know, in the job title that you have, in the type of company that you're with, and just having sort of that front row seat, I mean, are we going towards a mind that's got, you know, there's 50 people running the operation and all those, there's actually no people down in there working, or how far are we from that? What do you see, you know, not a timeline, it might be 100 years from now. Is there a way forward that could happen one day?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, I don't think it's about reducing the numbers of people on site. I think it's about eliminating them from the, you know, dangerous areas. And mm-hmm. we're still going to need a big workforce. It's just going to be a different skill set. But yes, I think we are continuing to, as an industry, remove people from those hazardous areas. And we want to continue doing that. Timeline predictions, yeah, that's a tough one. You know,
that's a tough one.
You look at the iPhone was only out, what, 15 years ago, and what that's done to the amount of data that we now generate. I think I heard a stat the other day, and probably don't quote me on it, but we generate now in one day more than we've ever created from yesterday back to all time in terms of data. And so it's just, that's all growing exponentially, and the opportunities that's going to come out of that it's very hard to predict. So I think, you know, automation, not just from driverless trucks and other equipment, but also automation into the decision-making process is
right. Yeah.
That's the big one. I think that's where we want to unlock the value for a lot of operations. And, you know, we're fortunate enough with the power of one that we have a unbelievable amount of data that we can generate, from planning through to ops to safety, automation, the sensors that we have out there that is coming back. You know, the trick for us is how do we actually enable our users to use that better?
I was just curious. You've had, a lot of people have come on the show and talked about, you know, the need to find good people, and that is it for what you're doing? I'm sure you're expanding and bringing on new team members. Are you noticing there's a lot of talk about people trying to kind of attract the next generation? I mean, I would imagine a company that's doing what you're doing, which is sort of the cutting edge of the mining industry, is it a little bit easier for you to attract, you know, the sort of the youth to your company as opposed to some companies are struggling because it's sort of, they're kind of built on a legacy system?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a challenge, right? I guess what we do, and it's something we debate all the time. Are we a mining company with technology? Are we a technology company in mining? Mm. Or are we just a technology company? Mm. And those statements really do help and reflect, you know, what we stand for, who we are, what we're trying to achieve. And, you know, next generation of people coming through really look at that. It's a higher on their employee desire or employee of choice, right? It's they want to do good. They want to be in that world. They want to, you know, change the world. And sometimes mining gets a little bit of a bad rap, but this is where you can make the biggest change, and you can really truly change an industry and make it better. And I think the impact there is huge. And so I think, yes, we can, you know, the brand definitely helps us. Whether or not I can say that we can do it better than anyone else out there, I don't know enough.
You're allowed to say it on this show.
Yeah. But no, I think everyone's got challenges. And I think as an industry, and that's not just us in the mining tech, but across the board, I think, you know, we've got to rebrand ourselves as to doing good for the planet and doing it well. I think we can.
Well, I was and just staying in sort of that youth vein for a minute. I was reading one article. I don't want to throw too many things random at you, but I was reading that you've actually been working with universities, developing programs to actually train people in this sort of thing. I mean, how much of a focus is that? Sort of laying that groundwork for the next generation of people coming in to be able to then push it to another level.
Yeah, we find it really important for us. Like, and that's why we invested with the U of A in that particular course. So, you know, we can put people through that both internally as they come through and work with Hexagon, but also externally, they get a visibility into who we are and at an early stage. And I think that really helps people understand what the industry is about, what we're about, and how we want to go about it. And that, you know, opens up a lot of doors. But then you got to go through that next level as well. You know, you got to have the grad programs. You got to empower people to come in and really learn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're working through that constantly to see how can we do that better. And I think it's important for us as a group to be able to find that next generation of people coming through our business.
It's an exciting time. I know, just even for me starting to do these interviews a few years ago, just the shift from and the progress. Well, you talked about like daily, the amount of data. I mean, the progress just in the last few years has been unbelievable. You know, it went from people were talking a little bit about ore sorting to, I mean, now the conversations I've had, it just keeps going up and up. And I feel I'm just trying to keep up half the time now on these interviews.
Tell me about it.
Like yourself. So I do appreciate you coming on. You know, I hope it's not the last time. You know, some of these clients you're working with, it would be amazing one day to sit down with you and maybe them and actually kind of talk about that holistic approach from their side and yours. And there's just, I mean, we could do 20 episodes and not even begin to cover it. So I really do appreciate you coming on, Rob, and talking about it.
No, likewise. Great. I really enjoyed it. So thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody for watching this episode of Mining Now. Thank you to Rob Daw from Hexagon for joining the show. Like I said to him, there's so much to cover that it's like we're just like started at the very start, and hopefully at some point we get to sort of unpack even more. Please keep suggesting guests. Please keep watching, telling us how we can do better. And thank you to our sponsors. Make sure to go to cim.org to check out the conference and expo that's coming up. It's going to be a great event here in Vancouver. Please keep watching. See you on the next episode of Mining Now.